big talker, ain't you?
A man that likes to talk.
Now, back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill on ESPN 100.3 FM and ESPN 1003.com.
Did you stay up last night and watch history in the NBA? A couple of games tonight. You got three of them. Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, and Thunder taking on. One of the things that I was looking at last night was just incredible, that the comeback, and I was just looking at it in front of me, so I kind of lost my train of thought there. Just the Boogie injury, just the comeback, just really incredible from one aspect of another. So yeah, Magic, Raptors, Spurs, Nuggets, and Thunder, and Trailblazers coming up here to talk a little bit about the NBA playoffs and get his thoughts on what the Pels can be doing here in the near future. Mr. Kurt Heelan over at NBC Sports covers the NBA, lead NBA writer for NBCSports.com. Love the Twitter handle, at Basketball Talk. Really simple. Kurt, how are you this afternoon, man?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on, man.
For sure, man. Let's start with the Pels, and we'll get into the NBA playoffs, because I think there are a lot of interesting storylines. I get Golden State is all that and everything, but I thought it was going to be a very competitive playoff. So we'll get to that in a quick set. Just your overall thoughts. Pels hire David Griffin. What did you think outside of New Orleans here?
I thought this was a great hire for them for a couple of reasons. A, he's just the best guy on the board. He's frankly the guy the Lakers should have called first rather than apparently nobody. But it's a very smart hire, a guy who knows how to do this. And I think what I really like about this hire internally is, like, I have interviewed David Griffin. I talked to him, you know, on and off the record, frankly, a few times. What he wanted, look, he's worked for, you think about the two owners he's worked for as a GM. Robert Sarver in Phoenix and then Dan Gilbert in Cleveland. Two of the hardest to work for, most meddling owners in the league. Two guys who, because of their success in other businesses, are convinced they know basketball. And it can be challenging to be the GM there. And he wasn't going to have that anymore. If he went somewhere, he had to be in lockstep with ownership on what the plan was, how much power he was going to have. He wanted a lot. He wanted a lot of control, but he wanted to be able to do things his way. And look, it's not like you don't consult an owner. You obviously consult an owner, especially when you're talking about something like Anthony Davis. But he wanted the ability to kind of go his direction. And the fact that they brought him in and he believes them and he's clearly got that kind of mandate speaks well for them. It means they're letting the basketball people do basketball things, and frankly, that's what all the best organizations do.
How important was it to get that respect level from the get-go?
I think that was huge. Look, when I talked with Griffin, his thing was, in fact, his exact on the record phrasing I used in the story was, "If you're not building a family, I don't think I want to be part of it. If you're not looking to build that kind of atmosphere, then I don't want to be part of that anymore. I've done that." And the fact that he brings a level of respect, the fact that they were able to earn his respect with, you know, Gail Benson and Mickey Loomis and everyone else who was in on this, it just speaks to, I think, what they're trying to build and how they're going to do it and how they're going to go about it, that they were able to get a guy who had options, who could have gotten paid and gone a lot of places, and the fact that they landed him speaks to well to what they're building.
That's key. Kurt Heelan, NBC Sports, covers the NBA. And I just can't you say that in the way you've presented, and everyone that we've talked to so far is that very key. That this wasn't something where, hey, I want to get back into this, or it's his first gig. Because as you mentioned, there were some other teams that probably should have or could have called. And just that respect level matters, because he's going to be doing a lot of different deals here, right? Whether it's the lottery, doing picks, how you go about that, the hiring when you call, and if you want to rework or tinker with your scouting department, people like that probably get to choose and know who the better scouts are. Or conversely, those good scouts would rather work for someone like that, especially if they have the power and the money and the resources and all that, right?
Exactly. It's also, and he's got people he's comfortable with, people he has a relationship with, and he can work with other people as well that he knows and are professional, but it's like every other business. If you've dealt with this person before and you know, you've been in this radio station, or I've been with this publication, and I've dealt with this editor before, I've dealt with this GM before, I know how they work, I like dealing with them, then you're more willing to go there. You're more willing, and it's going to be the same way with quality scouts. I mean, he had a good scouting department. He's run things really well, and when he's had trouble, is always kind of been well, more dealing with, you know,
ownership.
It's not easy to manage up with Sarver and Gilbert.
Yeah, no doubt. Do you think that there will be more moves underneath him in terms of a GM, assistant GMs?
I would expect that there would be some other people coming in. I imagine he's going to lay the groundwork and put in a both within scouting and within basketball ops and everything else. I imagine that there's going to be. I don't know if somebody's going to get the formal title of GM or if there'll be an assistant GM,
right.
But there'll be a few people, and there's possibly holdovers as well. He's got a person he knows and trusts and likes and has a great relationship with there in Alvin Gentry. So if Gentry came to him and said, "Hey, person X is somebody we really want to keep," then that'll be a big endorsement.
Hmm. Yeah, you know, a lot of people around here have kind of speculated, especially when you hear the owner and Gail Benson speak with Kurt Heelan of NBC Sports here, that she spoke very highly of how he's handled the situation. And look, we can go back and forth in X's and O's, rotations, should he have given different players. And I've said on the air, and Kurt, you understand this, when you have the Band-Aid approach in any relationship, imagine working for NBC, and if you're column, your write-up isn't, you know, award-winning every time. It's, well, you know, we may find someone else. Relationships can't work like that, but that's how it was. If the Pels lost two in a row, AD's leaving. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like every move, every game, every loss was, well, Anthony Davis is getting traded. That's not really how you coach or you run an organization, but to see how Gentry's kind of handled that, again, hearing the owner say she appreciates it as well. A lot of people feel if he's not the head coach, they'll offer him some sort of front office position or something of that nature.
Yeah.
Could you see that?
I could see that. I would be surprised if he left the organization. I imagine he stays on as coach. But, you know, what's about to happen there? Well, actually, I mean, that's the million-dollar question, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Is it, do you get a couple of veterans? Do you try to win more now? Do you go more the Indiana approach to rebuilding or closer maybe to the Clippers who've been trading all these stars but haven't really taken these steps back? Or are you going to go young? I imagine they're going to go young, and maybe you want to bring in a more developmental coach or somebody who kind of specializes that, but Gentry can do that, or we bring in people under him. The good thing about Gentry as a coach is he has a distinct style. He knows how he wants to play. He hasn't completely been able to do that, but even the Pelicans played really fast the last couple of years.
Right.
Whoever they bring in, whatever they do, they have a style they want to build to. And look, Griffin wouldn't be there if they didn't have all this on the same page. And, you know, that's a good starting point. You've just got to have everybody in lockstep, because when you go out and start getting players, the stars, whether you're talking Davis, but frankly, whether you're talking James Harden or Steph Curry or LeBron James or yada, 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 you know what? They're fine in any system. It's not going to be a problem for those levels. The all-star level players will be fine and beyond in any system. What you've got to do is develop younger players, role players, the guys 3, 4, 5 through 8, 9, 10 on your bench.
Mm-hmm.
They have to fit the system. They have to buy into the roles, and you've got to have everybody in lockstep trying to get those kind of players and develop them in that style. And if you're doing that with Gentry, at least you know what you want to do.
Kurt Heelan at Basketball Talk, so way to follow on Twitter. Thanks for a little insight on what the Pels do. All right, NBA playoffs are going on. We've had two full days of four games on Saturday and Sunday. And then yesterday, two games that, you know, I mean, lots of points scored on both. What stood out to you so far?
A few things. I think Brooklyn is seriously in this series. Philly won yesterday because they had the ridiculous 51-point quarter, and they just went off and they did the things they need to do. Ben Simmons was very aggressive from the start. That said, Joel Embiid's just not 100%. He's had flashes. He's put up numbers. He's had flashes, but he doesn't have the same lift. He's not quite the same guy. And Brooklyn's feisty, and now they're going, you know, it's 1-1, and they're going home. I think they have a shot at this more than I think, like, some of the wins. I'm not convinced Orlando is in this thing. I am not convinced. Like, the Clippers won yesterday, and it was a historic comeback, and I think it speaks to how much heart they play with and how hard they play. But they came back because the Warriors got bored. The Warriors were up 31 midway through the third and just flipped the switch off and turned off the lights and went home.
Right.
And the game wasn't over yet. That's not going to happen. You know, Thursday night, I don't think that's what happens when they face off, even back in Los Angeles. The Clippers are feisty, but it's I don't see them winning that series. But I think Brooklyn's got a shot. I think Brooklyn can knock off Philly. They may not, but it's going to be – Philly's going to have to earn this one.
What's in the series of Thunder and Trailblazers, which team do you feel has the most pressure to advance and advance deeply?
I think it's more on Oklahoma City. And here's the main reason is simply that Portland lost their second or third best player, depending on how you want to view Nurkic. I think he might have been their second best for a lot of this year. But when their big man went down, who was having this breakout year for them, and it become the guy Damian Lillard could lean on as an outlet, as a, hey, we're trapping Damian, we're going to take the ball out of his hands. He can now get the ball to Nurkic, and Nurkic was, you know, scoring or finding guys in the corners, his playmaking had improved, just a lot of things in his game. He'd become a better defender. When all that clicked, you know, that's when you were like, uh-oh, Portland is actually maybe better this year. Maybe this team's for real, and without him, and I thought they'd be better. Oklahoma City, man, Billy Donovan's coaching for his job right now because they were not good in game one, and a lot of it was technical. I mean, Enes Kanter's out there. 2 years ago, they couldn't play Enes Kanter in a playoff series. Why? Because he can't defend a pick and roll for his life, and they barely put him in pick and roll. They barely used, I mean, they did at the start of the game and a little bit late, but they went large swaths of the game without exposing him. And like, so I think they're under a lot of pressure. I think with those two stars and everything, they've got to win.
When you saw Giannis in the Bucks, look, obviously one of the nice surprises this season, seeing them get the number one seed. Man, they came to play. I guess I was looking at game one to see how do they handle that. It really does look like Giannis is ready to take that light and that team, really.
I do. I think it's a great confidence boost. To be fair here, the Pistons without Blake Griffin are not a very good. They're not a playoff team. They're not a very good team. He was on my All NBA ballot when I sent it in this week. You know, last week. Mm-hmm. He had a fantastic year. Maybe playing the best basketball, best mental basketball of his career. He's not quite leaping over Kias like he used to. But in terms of the rest, but you've got to guard him at the 3-point line now. He's a great passing playmaker, and he always was. But now he's really upped that part of his game and his handles. Like he's just become this great all-around player, and they're not the same without him. And so that opens the door, but I think it's good for the Bucks that, you know, they win this thing in four probably. But that's confidence, right? Like what they really needed was, hey, we can roll this. We can get going. And if they get all that confidence heading into the second round, they're going to need it because Boston's going to be good.
Kurt, we'll touch base with you, man, after the first round winds up and see where these semifinal games going into the conference finals get up. Always a pleasure, man, when you give us a little bit of your time at Basketball Talks, the way to follow over on Twitter, NBCSports.com/NBA to get the NBA coverage. His name is Kurt Helin. Thank you, bud.
Hey, thank you. Hey, man, I think every member of the national NBA media is rooting for New Orleans and David Griffin to get good again fast because, man, we all want to travel there. Like, we all want to spend more time there to help us out.
I told you, whenever you come again, please let me know. We'll take care of you.
Yeah, I promise I will, man.
Okay, man. You need to get here on maybe draft night. If they win the lottery on May 14th, I think you might have that excuse on that expense report.
Yeah, well, look, I keep trying to come up with excuses. One of my best friend from high school and college is a professor at Tulane. I'm always looking for excuses.
Okay, well, there you go, man. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
Take
Kurt.
Care.
There he is, Kurt Helin.